After Jesus had revealed himself to his disciples and eaten breakfast with them, he said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." He then said to Simon Peter a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was distressed that he had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This church building in which we're now worshiping was built in the year 2000, dedicated in the year 2001. I was here for the dedication as a deacon. And when the stained glass windows of this church were installed, that window of Pope John Paul II was put in. And what's strange about that window is that John Paul II hadn't yet died. He was still Pope when he made it to the window. He continues to wave. John Paul II was alive for Jesus Christ. His whole life was marked by Jesus' question, "Do you love me?" And John Paul's response of faith was, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." John Paul could have that faith because he was filled with the Holy Spirit at his baptism, at his confirmation, when he received Holy Communion worthily again and again. He was able to say with his life, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And for John Paul, the love of God was alive in created things. He loved to spend time with his friends hiking in the mountains. He loved going camping and canoeing. He loved being outside. He also loved being inside. He loved learning. And not just learning what other people had discovered, but he asked the Lord for the gift of creativity himself. He loved to compose plays and poetry. And this was important when he lived because he lived at a time in which the governmental powers were dangerous and they were robbing people of their human freedom. John Paul II was born in Poland 105 years ago in 1920. And when he was a young man, the Nazis came to power. And the Nazi government refused to acknowledge the authority of God and thought that by applying the survival of the fittest to human populations, that the world could be made a better place. And so the Nazis attempted to get rid of sick people and disabled people, people who were thought in any way defective. And the Nazis outlawed the practice of the Catholic faith and put many, many priests and religious sisters to death. Amidst all of these restrictions, John Paul felt the Lord call him to be a shepherd, to be a priest, and he studied for the priesthood in secret. When he was ordained, November 1st, 1946, World War II had ended, but a different governmental structure came to be imposed on the Polish people, this one by the former Soviet Union. This communist government also refused to recognize the authority of God. It too sought to eliminate the church by legal restriction. And John Paul II had to celebrate his first Mass in secret in the crypt, the lower part of the cathedral of the capital of Poland, Krakow. He celebrated his first Mass in the midst of the tombs of the kings and queens of Poland. And when he did that, he knew in faith that the Lord knew everything and that he loved this new priest, and this new priest loved Jesus. The communists allowed John Paul, mysteriously, to continue doing what he was doing. They thought he was harmless. And when he became a bishop and later a cardinal, he was finally elected as a successor of Peter. And his first words to the church were, "Be not afraid," the words that Jesus spoke so many times, including after the resurrection. In his first official letter to the church, his first encyclical called Redeemer of Man, in the first paragraph, he describes what's most important, what we need to prepare for. It was then the preparations for the Jubilee year 2000. John Paul was elected in 1978. He writes that letter in 1979. Imagine thinking 27 years in advance. How many of us are thinking, well, what are we going to do in the early 2050s? John Paul was thinking that far ahead in faith because he knew that the Lord had greater plans for good. And John Paul would travel to most of the countries of the earth, 124, I believe. He would speak to millions and millions of people. On a daily basis, he would allow all sorts of people to come to him. I came to him as a seminarian and a priest. I looked into his eyes. I held his hands. I can testify to you that Jesus Christ lived in him, and Jesus Christ lives in us. And we need never to forget that the Lord knows everything. He knows that we love him. And based on that knowledge of God, we can receive our mission in life, our creativity. What attracted people to John Paul was that he was a man fully alive. He loved sports as a way of being human. He loved interacting with people. He was described by his friends as somebody who fell in love with human love, for love of Jesus. This is our life, and it's going to be different for each one of us. When people would go to confession to John Paul II, they would report afterwards that he had enormous confidence in the power of human freedom to embrace the good. He knew that even when we fail over and over and over again, like Peter failed in denying Jesus over and over and over again, John Paul knew that the Lord knows everything, that the Lord knows that we love him. That's why we never have to get discouraged or to despair. John Paul II lost both of his parents. His mom and dad died before he was in his early 20s. And John Paul's mother died when he was just a little boy. He studied how other people prayed. He would watch how his father would kneel at the bedside alone. And he eventually built up the courage to kneel next to his father and to pray with him. And his father's prayer became stronger, and his prayer became stronger. So, my good friends, the spiritual exercise for today is to ask our parents, for those whose parents are still alive, that's most of us, to ask our parents if we can pray with them. And if you want to visualize this, go up to your mom and dad and say, "Mom and Dad, can we pray today in your room? Can we kneel at your bed? Because that's what Pope John Paul II did with his dad. Could we pray for our family and the people in the world who are suffering violence?" John Paul himself in St. Peter's Square was shot and almost killed. When he recovered, he went to the prison with the person who wanted to kill him and sat down and forgave him. John Paul II was not intimidated by evil. The reason we pray in our homes is because our homes are meant to be places where the goodness of God is received and multiplied. It takes a lot of courage to ask somebody, "Would you pray with me?" We don't know what they're going to say. We may feel that we don't have the words. Well, maybe we just don't have to say anything with words. "Mom and Dad, could we just pray in your room? quietly? Maybe we could pray the Lord's Prayer. Maybe we can pray a rosary one day. But for today, could we just pray together there, like John Paul did, and see what happens? See if we love life more because of that. And the secret is, we can ask John Paul to join us. We can ask him to be next to us in our prayer. I can't help but notice that there's another saint right there, Mother Teresa. They knew each other. John Paul and Mother Teresa lived pretty much same time. She died in 1997. He died in 2005. But they were friends. They prayed together. He made her more herself, and she made him more himself. That's what prayer does. When we pray with our family, it's not just me praying and mom and dad praying. It's I'm helping my mom and dad become more themselves. And my mom and dad are helping me become more myself. Some of us may have parents that we're not able to pray with right now. And John Paul knew that about people too. Not everybody has an easy or an ordinary home life. John Paul would be on the lookout for people who needed other people to pray with them. And he received in his life many spiritual fathers and mothers who helped him grow up big and strong. We can ask Jesus to put those people in our lives too. John Paul spent many, many hours praying by himself. But when he prayed, he was never alone. He loved the saints, the friends of Jesus. He felt their love and their nearness. And when he was Pope, he beatified and canonized many, many of them, over 1,000. There's something about our life that's meant to help other people become saints. So we have our mission. We don't know what's going to happen. But after school, mom and dad, could we go to your room and pray there? Repeat after me, if you would. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
You know everything.
You know everything.
You know that I love you.
You know that I love you.
Pope St. John Paul the Great.
Pope St. John Paul the Great.
Pray for us.
Pray for us.
We love you.